Next time you get to thinking you're all that, just remember that song. A speck of dirt is all I am, nothing worthy of the Lamb. Said human minds cannot comprehend Creator as creation's friend. Amen. Whoo, I like that. Take your Bible and go to 1 John with me tonight. 1 John, keep your Bible open. We'll go to 1 John and then John chapter number 14. I told the men in the prayer room to pray for me. I really don't feel like preaching tonight, but I'm going to. John chapter number 14. And I'll be honest with you, when I don't know what to do, and I don't have anything I feel like worthy to say, I'm just going to brag about Him. Amen. Tonight will be a personal message. In it, I want to tell you why I love the Lord. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? Come on, talk to me a little bit. Do you love Him tonight? Been a sober, somber spirit around here all day long. Let's shake that off a little bit tonight, and let's think about the love of God. Just for a little bit, 1 John chapter number 4, we'll look at some scripture. I love that song. I meant to look it up this afternoon, and I forgot the song that's entitled The Love of God. The song said, if we could with ink the ocean fill, and the eye were of the sky were of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. Something about it could not contain the whole. There ain't no way we could write down and describe to you the love of God. Listen to me carefully tonight. You're sitting here tonight because God loves you. Let me say it again. You're sitting in here tonight experiencing God's grace because He loves you. Some people have the idea that they deserve this or they deserve that. We deserve hell, friend. Every one of us. We're just wretched sinners. That's all we are. Somebody said, Christ is my all in all. Amen? I'm nothing and nothing at all. Christ is my all in all. There's nothing good about you or I. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. All our righteousness is as filthy rag. So we sit here tonight because of and right smack in the middle of God's love. Amen? The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, and you can quote it, but I want you to look at it tonight in verse number 19. The Bible said, we love who? Him. You know who that's talking about, don't you? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We love Him because why? He first loved us. We loved Him because He first loved us. Did you know it's that way in any relationship? Somebody always initiates the love. With me and my wife, I'd have to say, and she may argue the fact, but I'd have to say I loved her first. I did. I loved her first. And when I realized that I loved her, I began to woo her. Does that make y'all all right? Amen. I began to show her my love by sending flowers, by love notes, by different things. And listen, God loved us first. And the only reason you love Him tonight is because He began to show you the affections of His love. Are we okay? He began way back there in John chapter 3 and verse number 16 when He said, for God so loved the world that He gave. He started to show you His love by a gift. Amen. That to win your love, He gave you a gift. It's that way all through the Bible. I thought about when Eleazar went to get the bride for Isaac. He went and he found this lady at the well. And he said, hey, my camels need some water. And she gave the camels a drink. And he began to tell her story. The story about how Isaac was waiting on her. And he was to bring the bride back. But as he began to tell the story, Brother Charles, he pulled out bracelets of gold and silver. And he gave trinkets, affections of the Master's love. I'm glad God had something in which to win our love tonight. Amen. It wasn't a ring out of the bottom of a Cracker Jack box. It didn't come out of a bubblegum machine, but it came straight from the portals of glory. And God said, hey, I want to show you that I love you. Amen. We have the affections of God's love. God doesn't just love us at Calvary. He's loved us every day since. And He's proved it every day since. God proves His love for me over and over and over. How many of you would attest to that and say hallelujah right there? Amen. God loves us. There's no doubt about it. Hey, God loves me when I don't deserve being loved. There's times that I'm unlovable, but He loves me anyway.
Amen. I didn't say he's always proud of me, but he always loves me. Amen. There is one thing that I experience every day of my life, and that is the love of God. Paul said it's so deep we can't get under it. He said it's so wide we can't get around it. He said it's so tall we can't get over it. He said there ain't no way we're going to escape the love of God. You cannot escape it in your life. Even sinners on their way to hell are experiencing the love of God, and they don't even know it. Amen. Brother Stacy, while we was running crazy around Dallas, acting like a bunch of idiots and in our sin and our foolishness, God was loving on us. Did you know that? While the world looked at us and said, man, look at those hellions. They're probably going to wind up in jail or dead. God in heaven said, no, I got a plan for them boys. I love them boys, and I'm going to protect their lives and get them to a place where they'll realize that I love them. Amen. Amen. There's no doubt God loves us. There's no doubt. Do you ever wonder about it? Come on, be honest. We walk in a body of flesh. You ever just stop and said, God, do you even love me? Man, over and over in the Bible, when they'd get in trouble, first thing they asked the Lord, do you even care? The disciples got in the storm in Mark chapter number 4. They woke him up. They didn't say, Lord, help us. They said, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus came to Mary and Martha's house. Martha was cumbered about much serving. She came in. She said, Lord, carest thou not? We always want to question the Lord on his care and his love for us. I do it. You do it. We all do it. We face things in life that we feel like we ought not to have to face. I just have recently, in recent years, developed a good relationship with my dad. And boy, the first thing out of my heart and out of my mind was, God, why? Why, God, have I got to go through this? Y'all all right? That's just natural, isn't it? That's just the flesh. But boy, when you get real and stop and think about it, you got to realize, hey, God loves me. He must. He must love me, Brother Charles. Nothing else can explain it. Nothing else can explain how we've got from point A to point B, how we got through this trouble and how we got through that trial and how we got through this situation and still had our sanity. I know people say we're crazy, but I've got a pretty good head, amen? People say we're a bunch of nuts around here, but I'm pretty sharp, amen? Hey, I may talk slow, but that don't mean I'm stupid. Amen, we're not crazy. We're not mental. Hey, them disciples got full of God. You know what they said? That crowd's drunk. Amen. Paul. They said, Paul said, much learning have made thee mad. Hey, the crowd, you get on fire for Jesus and they're going to say you're crazy, but deep down we're the ones who have our feet planted on the rock. We're the ones who've got the thing figured out. We're the ones on the right path. We're not out of our mind. We're not somewhere smoking crack and having delusions of grandeur. We've got our stuff together. Amen. It's been by the love of God. Hey, we ought to be in the cuckoo house somewhere in a rubber room wearing a straitjacket and slobbering down our chest. Amen. Just going through some of the stuff I've been through these last few years as a pastor. It's absolutely amazing. We still have our faculties, amen? Yeah. Amen. I was with a preacher a while back and he started talking about funerals. And he said, Brother Eddie, have you done many funerals? And you almost hate to tell it. I mean, really, I said, have you got a while? He said, oh, so you've done a lot of funerals. And I started. And he was like, whoa. I said, man, we had a man die in our bathroom between Sunday school and church. Reached for the doorknob, fell over on the floor, graveyard dead. I said, I buried a mother with a baby under each arm. And I started telling him all these things, and he was just blown away. It's a wonder we're sane. It's a wonder we have a mind in our head. It's because God loves us. Yes, amen. I said, it's because God loves us. You know this crowd that never has a problem, I may never get to the message tonight, this crowd that never has financial difficulty, their churches has got millions of dollars in the bank and they never have any trouble. Hey, they never experienced the love of God that I do. Yeah. Amen. They never experienced the love of God. I know what it is to say, God, if you love me, you'll help us make the mortgage this month. God, if you love me, you'll help us through this trial. God, if you love me. And God says, I do love you and I will help you. I do love you and I will do it again. I do love you and I will deliver. And he's delivered over and over and over and over. I may not know everything tonight, but I know God loves me. In the 70s, when we were growing up, we had, now you've got, well, I hate to even start naming the little groups, but when me and Stacy was in school, and I don't mean anything, I'm not prejudiced, and there ain't a prejudiced bone in my body, but there was preppies. That was people who wore the boat shoes. Now I got a pair. There was preppies, there was rednecks, there was hippies, and there were blacks. You belong to one of them four groups. Somebody said, which ones you belong to? I ain't telling. Shut up. And now you've got all, I don't even know why I told that. What was I saying? My mind just. Y'all forgot to? God loves me. I know where I was going, the hippies. Bell bottoms. Y'all remember bell bottoms? Somebody talk to me. Tie-dyed shirts, Robbie's wanting to go back to that area. You're crazy. I am not wearing polyester. No way, no how, and I'm not wearing a tie that wide either, amen? Y'all listen. The hippies, man, their cool saying was peace, man. Jesus loves you. And they were so stoned, they didn't have a clue what they was talking about. Amen? Man, you get a hold of some good weed, you'll think everybody loves you. Get a hold of some good weed. You love everybody and everybody loves you. Everything's cool. Talk to me, Brother Allen. Amen. They didn't know anything about the love of God. Amen. They didn't know anything about the love of God. I didn't know anything about the love of God till I got introduced to the love of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, He loves me, and it's not some kind of fantasy world. It's not some kind of thing I get from sucking on a joint. It's not something I get from popping a pill. It's something I got from knowing the lover of my soul. The old songwriter wrote, for a lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Yeah. Hallelujah, I'm glad the Lord loves me tonight. Amen. 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 Yes, let me just give you a news flash. I love Him. Yeah. I love Him. Yes, sir. Amen. There was a while that I loved Sister Angie and she didn't love me. She did, she just didn't know it. I'd send her one red rose every Friday. I got a job framing houses or toting lumber. They framed the house. I toted lumber. I got a job toting lumber for Brother Kenneth Corin, and every Friday his wife owned a florist. And every Friday I'd call and I'd say, Miss Caroline, would you send me? I know she'd send the flower anonymous from your secret admirer. And there's some other dude strutting around Paulding County taking credit for my roses. Boys, if you're going to send a rose, put your name on it. Because there's some sucker out there be glad to put his on there, amen? But I'd love her. And boy, you know what? After a while, you know what? It finally sunk in. After a while, she went, he must really care something about me. He must really love me. You know, that's the way it was with the Lord. That's the way it was with the Lord, Brother Allen. I'd go through this and I'd go through that and I'd go through that. And boy, the Lord had sustained me here and He had supplied me here. And brother, He had strengthened me here. And boy, I began to scratch my head and I went, wow, He really must love me. And the more I realized, Brother Atkins, He loved me, the more I love Him. I said, the more I realized He loved me, the more I love Him. Hey, if you'd get a good bulldog grip on the love of God for your soul tonight, you would fall head over heels in love with Him. We talked last week about how Mary sat at His feet. You know what caused her to sit at His feet? She loved Him. There's a bunch of other stuff she could have been doing, but man, He was in the house. He was in the house. Maybe if He hadn't have been there, she'd have been busy cooking and cleaning and all that stuff, but Jesus was there. You know why they say Mary wasn't altogether all that? Maybe she didn't come from the right side of the track. Maybe she wasn't a high upstanding society woman. Maybe she realized she was just an old sinner and that's all she was. But here's somebody who is perfectly holy, perfectly sinless, who didn't cast judgment but just loved her. Loved her where she was. Good God, loved her where she was. Loved her like she was. And because of that love that He showed her, she couldn't help but to get down at His feet and return the love. Amen. I love him tonight. Amen. Ask you a question. How do you know you love him? How do you know that? Oh, we can sing, I love Jesus, he's my Savior. We can sing that stuff all day long. We can sing all these songs, how I love Jesus. But it's just words. It's just words. How do you know you love him? Go to John chapter number 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter number 14. You've heard all this before. You've heard all this before. And I don't care if you hear it again tonight. I want him to. Can I say that again? I don't care if you hear it again tonight. Go ahead, balance your checkbook, cut your toenails, do whatever you got to do. I want him to hear it tonight. Amen? I want him to hear it tonight. John chapter 14, look with me at verse number 15. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. I'm in Luke. It'd help me get in the same book you are, wouldn't it? Wait on me. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 15. Here we go. This looks better. He said, if. That's a big word, isn't it? Yeah. My granddaddy Fuller used to say, if a bullfrog had wings, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his little hind end when he jumped. Yeah. If. That's a big word. He said, if ye love me, watch this. What did he say? Keep my commandments. Yes, how do I know I love God? Are you obeying him? Are you obeying him?
Amen.
There's a good question. We can say we love each other all day long. But if we're not keeping his commandments, he says we don't love him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I wonder if I never caressed my wife if she'd really believe I loved her. I've had men sit down in my office. They're about to go through a divorce. And the wife said, he never tells me he loves me. Well, I go to work every week. I bring home a paycheck, bless God. You ought to know I love you. Dummy, you ought to tell her. If you don't, somebody else will.
That's right.
One man had the nerve, told me, Brother Fred, he said, well, my daddy never told me he loved me. I said, because your daddy was an idiot don't mean you get to be one too.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yes,
that's a character flaw.
Yeah.
I said, that's a character flaw.
Amen.
I said, that's a character flaw.
Amen.
You better tell them.
Right.
I said, you better tell them. Amen?
Amen.
There ain't a day goes by that green-eyed woman don't hear, I love you. Several times a day.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all okay? Yeah. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How does he know we love him?
Yeah.
How does he know we love him? Because we sing about it? Because we talk about it? Or because we just do it? The disciples said, Lord, which is the first and great commandment in the law? You know what he said? Here's the first and greatest commandment in the law. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the commandment. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What's my commandment? Love me. Did you know you'd get further loving God than you ever will serving God? And I know I'm stuck on this a little bit. I'm sorry. But you'll get further loving God than you ever will serving God. Let me say it again. You'll get further down the road loving God than you will a degree on your wall that says you've completed a course.
Yes.
Amen. I know people with PhDs in theology that don't love God.
Yeah.
People who love God don't correct His Word.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. People who love God don't correct His Word.
Yeah.
People who love God don't take His name in vain. People who love... Are you listening to me? People who love God don't cheapen His worship. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's the commandment? Love me. That's all. That's it. Do you love Him tonight? How do I know if I love Him? Well, you keep His commandment. That first one is that you love me. He said the second is great and like unto it. He said that you love your neighbor as yourself. So we're supposed to love each other. Let's see. Now, how do I know if I love God? Okay, number one, I got to love God.
Yeah.
You know if you love Him or not. Right?
Yes,
you know if you love Him or not. Nod your head.
Yeah.
Yes, second, love each other.
Yeah, go ahead, right.
Oh, Lord, if we could just get this, it would revolutionize our churches, yeah. Brother Spartan. It would change the way we worship. It'd change the way we live. If we just love God, number one, and number one, if you don't love God, you ain't going to love each other. If your love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ is not right, your relationship with everybody else is not right, hey, I can't love her like I'm supposed to if I don't love him like I'm supposed to. And I can't love these like I'm supposed to if I don't love him like I'm supposed to. Would you agree with me if I said some people are hard to love? I think some stay up late at night thinking of ways to make it tougher. I think some have a list by their bed. Let's see if Brother Eddie will love me if, and then they have a list. Amen? Do you ever feel like somebody's trying your love? A family member? Even a spouse? I don't know if I can go anymore. I don't know if I can put up with them another day. You're running down this checklist. Why? And you ask yourself, why do I love him? You think God ever looks at us and goes, why in the world do I love that sucker? Why do I love him? He never even tried. He doesn't give any effort. But he just keeps on not scratching me off the list. Hallelujah. Does he know you love him? When have you told him? When have you told him? Have you ever just sat down and said, Lord, just want you to know I love you? I was preaching... Thursday morning. And my phone was going crazy, and there was some call. The kids were just playing games, Bible drills and all. And I slipped out and took a call. Actually, I think I talked with Brother Freddie, I do believe. And while I was talking to Brother Freddie, my phone beeped, and it was my dad. And I didn't answer it. Because usually when my dad calls, we're on the phone for about an hour. I knew I had to get right back in church. But he left me a voicemail. He left me a voicemail. And he said, son, I love you so much. I don't need to talk to you. He said, I just wanted to hear your voice. He said, I just wanted to hear you say it's Brother Eddie. If you'll leave me a message, I'll call you back. He said, I just wanted to hear that. He said, I just want to tell you I love you, son. Woo! I'm telling you, that done me a world of good, especially when I got the news yesterday that my dad was gone. Hallelujah, I'm glad he told me that he loved me. You say, well, the Lord knows I love him, but he loves to hear it. He loves to hear it. He loves you to say, Lord, I love you. But you cannot tell him you love him too much. I asked my wife one time, do you get tired of me telling you I love you? She said, no. No. Don't nobody get tired of hearing it. Don't you think for a minute your wife's going to get tired of you being affectionate and loving her. And don't you think for a minute the Lord's going to get tired of you loving him. Amen. Remember Revelation 4:11. It's what he created you for. His pleasure. Amen. I'm telling you, just let this sink in real good. You'll get more out of loving God than you'll ever get out of serving God. And you'll get more out of serving God if you love God. Let me say that one again. And some of y'all are going to get this, and it's going to change your life. Some of you, it's going to go just like this, like it does every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night while you're sitting there wishing the preacher would give you something deep. You ain't got legs enough to get out of the kiddie pool yet.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen, brother.
If you'll love God, you'll get more out of serving God. Yeah. It'll be a delight. It won't be a duty. It'll be joy. It won't be a chore. Amen. It'll be something you get to do. It won't be something you have to do. Amen. My wife says, I do more stuff around the house, and I don't belittle men who don't, but I do a lot of stuff around the house. And my wife said, I don't know why you do all this. I don't know why you think you need to wash the dishes and why you do all this stuff. It's because I love her. Amen. I live for the fact of her come home and go, oh, you wash the dishes. Amen. Brother Freddie said, get back to preaching. Amen. I just love to do things for her. If I'm in Douglasville, I stop by a Starbucks. I know what she likes from coffee. I just slip in on her job. Those women she works with, they want me to write a book. They really want me to sit down and tell their husbands how they ought to act. Amen. But I slack by there. I just slip in, take her a coffee. Why? I love her.
Amen.
I love her.
Amen.
It's not, oh, I'm in Douglasville. That means I got to go to Starbucks and I got to get her a coffee and I got to go to the hospital and got to let them buzz me in and I got to go, ah, blah, 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 blah. No, man, I get a thrill out of it.
Yeah, bro.
That's my joy.
Yeah.
Are you following me? I said that's my joy because I love her.
Amen.
And that's my opportunity to show her that I love her.
Amen.
People give me Starbucks cards for Christmas. I have a confession. She gets them. Y'all all right? She gets them. Why? I'd rather her have it than me. I'm just trying to make a simple point tonight. If you really love him, you'll love serving him. Amen. It'll be I get to go preach at the jail. Come on. It won't be I've got, pray for me, I've got to go preach. We have a habit of saying that. Pray for me, I got to do this. Pray for me, I got to do this. No, pray for me, I get to do this. Pray for me, I get to go and serve God. Pray that I serve Him effectively. Pray that I get to go do this and God's pleased with it. Hallelujah. It is an honor and a glory and a privilege and a hallelujah time to get to do anything for the one who loved me so.
Amen.
I love Him because what He's done for me.
Amen.
You know what He did for me? He loved me when I was a sinner. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, what's it say? How's it start? But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! That's pretty good right there.
Amen.
Brother Earl Hughes put it like this. God knew He was getting a bum deal when He got you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord, brother.
How many of you would buy a car? You walk up on the lot and you say, hey, man, how much that Cadillac right there? They say, well, it's $12,000. Anything wrong with it? Yeah, the transmission's about gone. The motor's running on 6 cylinders. The sixth one's probably going to drop sometime today. The motor might last you a month. Headlights don't work, but it's $12,000 firm. You say, yeah, but that's a piece of junk. Yeah, but you love Cadillacs, right? It's kind of the way it was when the Lord got us.
Yeah, bro.
The Lord said, devil, what you got there? Well, he's just a little sinner boy.
Yeah, bro.
He ain't worth shooting.
That's right.
Takes your name in breath, takes your name in vain about every other breath he draws. He ain't no good for nothing. His thoughts are evil. His heart's wicked. I mean, he ain't worth nothing, Lord. He said, well, what do you take for it? He said, I'd take the blood of Calvary. God, it's yourself a deal, son. I believe I'll take that one just like he is, just as I am, without one plea. I love him because he loved me when I was a sinner.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? He loved you right where you was.
That's right, brother.
Baptists kill me. Some of them act like they were born saved.
Come on, brother.
Some of you forgot where you was.
Right.
You forgot where he found you.
Amen.
He didn't find me on the bottom. He found me under the bottom.
Right.
David said he dug me up out of a horrible pit.
Yeah.
Woo! Set my feet on a rock and established my going. The song said he picked me up, dust off my sin, put me back on my feet again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He loved me while I was a sinner.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes, sir,
I didn't have to come up to his standard.
Amen.
He came down to mine.
Amen.
I didn't say he changed to be what I was, but he came down where I was.
Amen.
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 People have got this thing backwards, man. You've got to come up here to where God is. No. God will come right down there where you are. He'll go to the rescue mission. He'll go to the homeless who slept in a box last night. Covered. His perfume is his own urine. That grows some of you out, won't it? Oh, you couldn't go down there and love on somebody like that, but the King of Kings will. You couldn't wrap your arms around that, but the Lord of Lords will. Amen. Somebody ought to get happy right there. Hallelujah. Hey, I wasn't living in a box. I wasn't wallowing in my own feces, but thank God I was just as vile. I was just as nasty, and he loved me just the same. Thanks be unto God. He loved the little bus kid.
Yes. Amen.
Who came in here this morning, lived in a single wide trailer with cardboard over the windows.
On,
as much as he loved the one who drove in a brand new automobile.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes,
y'all all right? I love him because of what he has done for me. He loved me while I was a sinner.
Amen.
He sent the Holy Spirit to convict me of my sins. Amen. My, drew me to him. He saved me, wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He saved me. You know what I did to earn that? Same thing you did. Nothing.
Yes,
and poor old Mormons think they got to ride a bicycle 2 or 3 years. Them Jehovah's Witnesses think they got to knock on so many doors to get to be in the elect number. Their number keeps growing, by the way. It used to be 144,000 until there's more than 144,000 of them. So they keep going up and up and up and up. I'm glad I'm preaching one that ain't never changed. Amen. I'm glad mine's covered it from the beginning. Whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you one of them whosoever willers. I sure am. And I will be till Jesus comes. Why? Because he still is. And he will be till Jesus comes. Amen. I love him because of what he has done for me. But I love him not only because of what he's done for me. I love him because of what he's doing for me. Amen. I love him for what he did for me, Brother Stacy. But I love him for what he's doing for me right now. He's helping me. Amen. He's helping me. Is the Lord helping you? What you say, what's he doing for you right now? It's so good. He's still forgiving my sins. He's faithful and just. We confess our sins. Or he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Just like I got in the shower this morning, took a bath. I took that soap and washed the dirt off my body. Well, there's a dirty spot that soap can't get to. Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. I'm glad I can still come before him and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Hallelujah. You don't hear much anymore about confessing your sins. You got some of those famous preachers in America that won't even use the word sin. I'm still a sinner. How about you? You say, how dare you? How dare I not? I said, I'm still a sinner. How about you? You had any bad thoughts this week? You got mad this week? You got in the flesh this week? Come on. I got in the flesh. I got in the flesh yesterday. When I come on? Friday. I sat down in the airport and one of them it sat down by me. I mean a he who wished he was a she. I don't like that stuff. I got up and moved. It started giving me dirty looks. You know what my flesh said? Say something. I done missed one flight. Say something. Y'all all right? Now you know that wasn't the Lord, don't you? I don't know. But anyway. I'm still a sinner. I know we've got these people who walk around like they've reached this point of sinless perfection. They're just fooling themselves. They're just fooling themselves. I grew up around some folks, God love them, still my heroes, love them with all my heart. But they thought because of the way they dressed, and I think you ought to dress right. Let me say it again. I think you ought to dress right. Think a lady ought to dress like a lady. Think a boy ought to dress like a boy. You okay? Put some cowboy boots on them boys. Give them a pistol. Amen? Amen. Go out and rub their face in the mud hole. Teach them how to be a boy.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all all right? I lost my whole train of thought again. I did. I lost it. I'm still a sinner.
Yes, sir.
I still operate in the flesh. He's still forgiving me of my sins.
Yes, sir.
I have thoughts go through my mind and I just have to stop and say, Lord. He said, I know, I got you covered. You ever felt like he deals with you like that? Are you close enough to him to know what I'm talking about? You got to kind of walk with him, know what I'm talking about. You're just out in society and functioning in the world, and before you can even say it, you just feel like the Holy Spirit's going, I know. I saw it. Oh, Lord, I heard you, son. Amen. Thank God he's still forgiving me of my sin. I'm glad he doesn't say, I'm done, one more time, we're through. He just keeps forgiving me of my sin. I've even got to places to preach. Got down on my face in a hotel room and said, God, is there any way you can use me one more time? Lord, is there any way you can get one more message out of this flesh? And the Lord says, step up there and see.
Yeah.
I helped you last time.
Yes, bro.
I helped you last time. I help you this time. Amen. And he shows me how much he loves me every single day.
Yes,
amen. I love him, but not only because of what he's done, but because of what he's doing. He's still forgiving me of my sins day by day. Listen, don't think you've got a preacher that's way up here on a pedestal higher than you. I live where you do. I live in the real world. I cut my own grass. Hallelujah. God have mercy on these preachers. Don't even know how to take care of themselves.
Amen.
Y'all all right? I don't know why I said that, but anyway.
Amen.
I know what it means to work a little bit. Amen.
Right.
I know what it means to deal with people in society. I don't stay. Rarely, and probably that's a fault, I don't know, but rarely will you find me just hoarded up in that building, in that office back there through the week. No, I'm out. I don't hide behind no walls, amen.
Amen.
I'm just trying to say I live in a real world just like you do.
Amen.
Deal with real situations just like you do. Still have to face the flesh every single day of my life. I love him not only because of what he's done, because of what he's doing. He's forgiven me of my sins. Not only is that the only thing he's doing, but he's helping me. He's helping me. He's not only my mediator between me and God. There's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. Try that on your Catholic friends. Amen.
Amen.
But he's helping me. He's helping me day in and day out. Amen. The Lord is my helper. I can cry, help, Lord. We preached that the other Sunday night. I can cry to him for help. He helped me this morning, Brother Atkins. There's no doubt in my mind. I was okay till I got here. I was okay. I thought, Lord, I'll be all right. I can hold it together. I got here, stepped out of the truck, and people started hugging on me. Boy, that does it right there. I lose it every single time. Now, I just fell apart. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. He said, I will. I will. Just go on. I said, Lord, I don't want to preach. He said, it's all right. You ain't got to preach. He said, you got Brother Charles. He'll preach. You just go ahead. You just go on. I'll help you. You know what he's done? He's helped me. They got up and sang that song about heaven this morning. That medley. Ain't that what you call it? Medley. All them songs put together about heaven. Boy, and I got to think about what my daddy is doing. See, all I could visualize in my head, Brother Freddie, from last night, we pulled that wreck up on the internet, and all I could see was the mangled mess that they cut my daddy out of. All I could see was a transfer truck that you couldn't even tell what it was. And I went to bed with those thoughts in my mind, and I had nightmares. And boy, it was rough. When I come in this morning, the Lord said, I want to give you another picture. Let me show you my pictures, amen.
Yeah.
And I began to picture what they were singing about, how beautiful heaven must be. And I thought, oh my soul, he's not an old mangled up truck. He's not scattered his body parts along the side of the road somewhere. But he's walking on streets of gold. And he's looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord said, is that helping you, son? And I said, yeah, that's helping me. Amen. I love him because he's what he's done for me, but I love him because of what he's doing for me. Phew. He's forgiven me of my sins. He's helping me. He's comforting me. Do you find comfort in the Lord? Some people live in a turmoil. Some people live in a turmoil, a rage in their heart, in their lives. Their life is a battle all the time. If there's never any comfort for your heart, I wonder. The devil's got some people in such a mental state, they're never at peace. And they're never at rest. But Jesus said, come unto me, and you'll find rest for your soul. I'm not saying we don't have battles, and I'm not saying that there are days when we feel like we don't know if we're washing or hanging out, we're three bricks shy of a load, our elevator ain't going all the way up, whatever you want to say. There's days that we feel like we're losing it. But that shouldn't be the norm. There ought to be days when we feel like, whoa, Lord, me and you, we got it all together. We're doing okay, Lord. We're on top side. We got some victory. I worry about people who have no victory. I really do. I worry about people who have absolutely no victory whatsoever. I worry. I know people who have not given me good news as long as I've known them. As long as I've known them, nothing is ever good. It is always bad. Always bad. Now, we have folks that go through a lot. We don't know why Brother Shane goes through what Brother Shane does. I don't know. It's between him and the Lord. I ain't got a clue. But he'll call me every now and then and say, you ain't going to believe this. I love them phone calls. Let's just start making them, brother. I like them phone calls. Because you ain't going to believe what the Lord's done. You ain't going to believe what the Lord's done. You know what that lets me know? He must belong to him. Because it ain't all battles. There is some victory. Amen. But I worry about that crowd who has none, who has no victory. You never call and say, preacher, you ain't going to believe what the Lord's done. The only reason you call me is to tell me how horrible things are. You ought to check up. You say, you questioning my salvation? Maybe you ought to. The Bible said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I don't believe God's people are supposed to live a defeated life. Either you don't know Him or there's something standing in between you and Him. There's an issue you hadn't dealt with. Boy, I'm meddling now. There's something up under the rug. There's something in the closet. There's something that you ain't drug out before Him and said, okay, God, let's get this out of the way. I'm tired of defeat. Amen. Let's have some victory. Either that or you're not saved. Boy, it got quiet. What is the first feeling of salvation? We don't base it on a feeling. But you can feel it. What is the first feeling of salvation? It's victory. Is it not? What drove you to the altar or wherever you got saved was a battle, was it not? The devil was battling for your soul. It was heaven or hell. At that instant, you really felt like if you rejected Christ one more time, hell would be your home. You knelt before God and pleaded the blood, and all of a sudden, woo! You know what that shout's about? You just won. And if you won then, you can win again. Amen. I'm not saying if you never have victory, you're not saved. That could be the answer. But some other underlying reason could be the answer too. If you know that you're saved and you never have no joy and you never have no peace, man, you ought to ask the Lord to examine your heart and find out what the deal is. It may be unforgiveness. I don't know. There's a whole grocery list of things that keep you from having peace, keep you from getting comfort from the Lord. Amen. There's a whole pile of stuff. And if you've got it in your heart, you better get rid of it. That wasn't in the message. It just come out. Amen. I'll never forget. She's in heaven now. Her kids are sitting in here tonight. I preached a message years ago on digging out the root of bitterness. I'd never heard Sister Laurie Powell shout in my life. That night when I got home, my phone rang, Cody, and I answered the phone, and all I could hear was, woo! I was holding it out to hear. I knew it was Laurie because I had caller ID. And I said, Laurie, what? Woo! I said, Laurie, calm down. And I won't go into all the details, but that's something she had harbored in her heart for a long time. Boy, when she got that thing out, she said, preacher, I ain't never felt this good. She said, even right after I got saved, it didn't feel this good. Thank you for helping me to dig that thing out tonight. Amen. Mm. But boy, when you dig something out, it hurts. You ever had a splinter? And it hurts so bad you didn't want to fool with it, so you let your skin grow over it? You get the needle and the pocket knife and the butcher knife and the chainsaw. I mean, it takes everything in the garage, boy. Something so tiny. Listen to me. Something so tiny. Might as well be a cord of firewood. Something so tiny. Puts you through Hades and back. To get that, and you get it out. And you can barely even see it. You know what happened? That little tiny thing got embedded. But then it began to infect around it. The longer it stayed in there, the more corruption that little tiny thing begin to cause. And that's what's happening in a lot of Christians' lives. I know I'm running a rabbit, but there's reason for it, I believe. Something so tiny, if you're not careful, you'll overlook it. the Lord reveal it to you, and you'd go, is that it? Is that it, God? Is that what's keeping me from having victory? But it's got dug in so deep, and it's so festered around it, that it may take some pain. It may take some agonizing for God to get that thing out. There's a reason. If he's not helping you on a regular basis, there's a reason for it, if you're saved. Let me tell you something about his help. His help's immediate. Brother Charles mentioned it with the Apostle Paul this morning. Paul asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn, but God, he didn't take it out, but he had an answer for it. If you're not getting through your problem, and if God is not answering your problem, is there an answer for it? Has God gave you a word? Have you ever had the Lord give you a word from his book?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever? Have you ever had God give you some scripture? Or do you even search them? We're more cared about, more worried about what people say. Well, here's my problem, friends, on Facebook. What do you think? Why don't you go to this Facebook and say, God, what do you think? God, here's where I'm struggling, God. Why is it, Lord? Search me, Lord. That's what we don't want. Because he'll dig in there and he'll pull out that magnifying glass and say, you see that little bitty spot right there? You remember it. You helped bury it. If I knew them like the Lord knows them, there's probably touchy spots in everybody in this room's life I could go to and start messing with it just a little bit and get you out of sorts. There's subjects that I could mention tonight and get some people out of sorts. You'd say, oh, he could have went all night without mentioning that. That's your sore spot.
Yes, sir.
If it's a sore spot, maybe you ought to find out why and get that thing dealt with and out of the way. I don't know why I said all that. But I love him for what he has done. I love him, Brother Freddie, because of what he's doing. He's sustaining us. He's not just forgiving me my sins and helping me and comforting me, but he's holding me up. He's holding me up. He's giving me strength day by day. I know it was an old country song. I remember me and Stacy was talking about it the other day down at the thrift store. I wish Mama was here tonight. She had a little old Vega. Y'all know what a Vega is? Little Chevrolet Vega. We run that thing on visitation. I mean, boy, you ain't never seen a Vega, boy. She had a Vega. Worst car Chevrolet ever made. Either that or the Chevette. I ain't sure which one. People used to ask me in school, what do you drive? A Vette. Chevette. Amen. But she'd listen to WPLO. Anybody remember WPLO? Just a couple of us. Bold enough to admit it. We'd listen to WPLO, and I think it was Donna Fargo, I'm not sure, some old country singer, and she'd sing One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus. Anybody remember that song? Boy, you know that's what he does. He'll sustain you one day at a time. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. He's helped me today, and I know it. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I've got some decisions to make tomorrow. I don't want to plan my daddy's funeral, but I've got to do that tomorrow. I don't want to face that. I don't want to come to the decision, is it a casket or is it cremation? I don't want to have to choose all these things. Y'all all right? But I'm not worried about it. Why? I'm not going by myself. He helped me today. You know what? He'll help me tomorrow. He'll help me tomorrow. I'm not worried about what I'll say at my daddy's funeral. Why? He helped me today. I didn't feel like preaching tonight. Probably hadn't been the best in the world, but he sure has helped me.
Yeah,
amen. He's helping me. I love the Lord for what he's done. Love him for what he's doing. You know it's coming. I love him for what he's going to do. Amen. I love him for what he's going to do. Listen, you can count on it. As Joshua was dying, Joshua called his kids around him. And he told them, he said, the Lord will be with thee. How could he say that? Because of his next statements. As he was with me, so will he be with thee. Joshua, as at the end of his life, Brother Charles, and he's looking back, and he's saying, kids, if God did all that for me,
He'll do all that for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know He's not helped me. He's still helping me and will continue to help me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He's coming back for me.
Yes,
amen. That trumpet's going to sound.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a fairy tale.
Amen.
I believe He's coming back for His own.
Amen.
I believe in the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And I believe it soon.
Yes,
amen. I'm ready to meet Him.
Amen.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I love the Lord because of what He's done. Because of what He's doing now and what He's going to do in the future. He's not just coming back for me, Brother Freddie. He's going to change me once and for all. How about that? I heard one old preacher, he would sign off. I'm trying to remember who it was. He would sign off on his radio program. He'd say, "Waiting on the change."
Yeah.
I like that.
Amen.
Just waiting on the change. Amen?
Amen.
Walking around in an old body of flesh, but one of these days I'm going to get one likened unto His.
Yes, brother.
Amen. Waiting on the change. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Do you love Him tonight? Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. Do I just want, yeah, boy, that'd be good.
Listen. Probably wouldn't hurt one bit if you just let Him know tonight. I said, "Preacher, that wasn't that great of a sermon." I know it. But it'd be great if we'd just love Him. I think He's longing for it. When I travel and go out of town, and usually I'm just gone 3 days. This week I was gone 4. By the time I got home, I was longing for her to just hold my hand. Hadn't felt her touch all week long. I'd heard her voice. But boy, just to be touched. I was longing for it. I wonder if the Lord's longing to hear from us tonight. Say, "Hey, I sure would like to hear that you still love me. I still love you, and I show you every day. How long's it been since you just did like Mary and just laid down at His feet? Say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." Y'all sing it, kids. Y'all need this mic.